we're looking at sort of next generation solar cells and improving the technology and using different materials.
Okay, and what's the materials on this stall here?
Okay, so these are, we have some examples of sort of standard technology over here, which is made of silicon. And we find that silicon has a sort of limiting efficiency because it has what's called a junction, and it only has one junction. And because of the physics of that, we find that there's a limiting efficiency of about 30-31%. So one thing people do is they stack different materials which absorb different energy parts of the solar spectrum.
So like the UV and then the visual part of light and then the infrared. Are those the parts of light that get absorbed?
Yeah, exactly. And the more you can split that up, actually, the more efficiency you can get out. So we've also got an example of one which is three junctions stacked. And the energy absorption, then you will absorb higher energy at the top. So then lower ones will pass through.
So can you get to, if you use the kind of three levels, can you get to 100%? Or is it 31 plus 31 plus 31?
It's not as straightforward as 31 plus 31 plus 31. And it isn't 100% either, because there's a fundamental thermodynamic limit of sort of just energy conversion. But it does go up to around 80% with a theoretical sort of infinite number of junctions to split the spectrum. And over here with our three junction, we've got 42.5%, and the current record is 44%. And I would expect in the future, the more junctions we add, the greater efficiency. But there's another thing you can do, which is to focus the sunlight, concentrate the sunlight with lenses and mirrors, and that will increase the efficiency, as well as having the benefit of reducing the material costs, because you don't need such a large solar cell.
Is it always silicon that you're working with?
No, so these junctions, actually, they're made of different materials, which again have superior properties. So they're compounds of, they're known as 3-5 compounds in the periodic table. So they're materials like gallium arsenide, indium gallium phosphide, germanium is used as well. So that's part of the challenge, is finding adequate and suitable material combinations to make effective cells.
And can you see that, is this the sort of material that's going to be used in solar fields on an industrial scale, or is this the sort of stuff that powers your iPhone or powers up your car battery while you're going into the supermarket?
Well, it's an interesting question. So at the moment, these kind of materials and the three-junction structures, they're very expensive. So their main application at the moment is satellites, where the cost is not such an issue compared to the cost of actually getting something into space. So they're standard use for satellites, communication satellites, things like that.
So what would it take to turn this sort of technology into competitive technology in the energy markets?
Bringing the cost down. So a lot of people have looked at that and have predicted that improvements in efficiency could bring the cost down. But they're also using a system that sort of minimizes the material cost. So you use a small area of material and you use a large area of cheaper components like the lenses and mirrors to focus the light onto that small area. So you wouldn't have fields plastered with solar cells, but you might say in desert areas, they're starting to have installations of lots of mirrors and lenses which focus the light onto a smaller area. And that has the benefit of reducing the cost and actually improving the efficiency as well.